bonus segment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, money isn't real. The AI is going to take the money. They're going to take all the little numbers on the website. I didn't raw dog my asshole.
I had a glove, bro. What did you do with that plastic bag full of your shit? That double bagged shit.
Speaking of Zuck, you see his glow up?
Bro, Daddy Zuck.
It's like starting to get sexy again. If a white dude with a beard gives you that, like, affirmation.
Dude, we're 12.
12 out of 10. What's up, baby hotties? We're live. What's up, Nate?
Ooh, yeah, we're live. Yo, hand the gun. So where should we start today?
Well, let's see. The first thing that I have in mind is that I have a trip coming up.
Oh, okay? Right. I was going to ask you about that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, in a month. And I'm at this stage right now where, you know, when you have like a trip coming up or like a vacation coming up, and so everything leading up to that you care less and less and less about.
Yeah, totally.
Until like the week before, you just don't give a shit. I'm starting to get to that point now where I'm like, okay, there's a trip coming up, and my interest levels in things like work are decreasing more and more. But that's not to say that I'm not putting in my time with my clients. So I don't know how the weather is in Taiwan, but here in New York, it's like starting to get sexy again. like people are getting out of their giant sweaters, giant jackets, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna show some skin because it's like 62 degrees Fahrenheit, and everyone's like, yeah, summer's coming. So that's always super fun. I know you remember that, like, springtime in the city. But also, almost all my clients are like, hey, so I kind of want to, like, lean out a little bit. Mm. And so, quick tip for all the listeners. One, if you need personal training and coaching, hit me up, at Miguel Mariano on Instagram. But two...
We'll add the link somewhere on the YouTube.
But two, this one's for free, okay? Probably the most common advice I give for people to lean out, is that you're not going to, work it all off at the gym. A lot of people think like, oh, I need to like work my ass off at the gym. I'm going to lose all this weight if I work my ass off. But if you work your ass off and you're like, ooh, I deserve like a little treat, which is pretty common. Most of the time you've like already undid all the extra work that you did. That's not to discredit like intensity in your workouts or anything like that. But if you really want to like lean out, you have to like be cognizant of what you're eating. It doesn't mean count your calories and your macros, but just like get that fruit instead of those fries, and fucking walk or city bike everywhere you can.
That's a good tip. City biking everywhere is a great tip, honestly.
Yeah. And if you're on like a electric bike, Watson, I'm talking to you. Switch from electric.
Wait, didn't
manual.
We agree we're not gonna we agreed we're not gonna name drop anymore on the podcast?
Okay, but we'll drop. but yeah, that's not a target. That's more like that's something he's doing. He's doing a great job. So it's like, okay, instead of biking to the office with an electric bike, he's been doing like a manual bike, and little things like that are gonna pay off. So. That's a lot more sustainable. So than to just be like, here's an extra workout where you're working out even harder. So that's my pro tip. But if you want more details, come get
Instagram.com/Miguel Mariano.
Get bodied by Miggy.
Bodied by Miggy. Is it bodied by Miggy or bodied by Miggy? Because those are two different.
I know.
And brands.
You, whatever you like. There. Yep. It's part of the product.
You asked me like what the weather was like here in Taiwan. It's been just freaking hot and humid, and like you were saying, it's getting sexy. It's getting swampy here, honestly. And if I were to and the thing is, I already bike to work, the work being my gym, and it's like just imagining Watson biking to the gym, it's just like you're signing up for like a day in the office full of swamp ass.
Oh, in Taiwan right now?
Yeah, in Taiwan. It's so humid. It's so humid. Every day, if it's like 80% or less, it's a good day. It's pretty much always like 90% to 100% humidity.
Oof. And it's not even summer over there, right?
It's not even summer, yeah. I don't know what we're going to do. I think Oh, wait, you were saying you're going somewhere. But one thing I wanted to add to that actually was, like, the thing is too, when people know you're going on vacation, sometimes, this is my ADHD brain, I'm skipping all over the place, but sometimes I would just drop the week of, guys, I'm leaving on vacation, and my boss wouldn't say shit, but sometimes I would plan it ahead of time and let everyone know, and I feel like when I would do that, for the, like, month leading up to it, I would definitely slow down, but I think people around me got the sense, and they also would stop sending me work.
It's, you like, I mean? A temporary quiet quitting. It's quiet vacationing, where it's this guy's going on vacation soon, so let's ease off. But they don't realize it's in, like, a month from now.
It helps too. I feel like looking back, if you're always, like, saying, like, oh yeah, I could work on that. It's just, like, I'm gonna be on vacation for a week, so I don't know if I want to start a project. And then, like, you know what I mean? If you just keep reminding them, they'll send you less and less work.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like I want to kind of, this would be an epic, like, lie. I want to be like, oh, I have a kid on the way, and go on fucking paternity leave, right? And then they find out, like, oh, I just made that up, and by the way, I quit. Let's fucking go. Just take, like, 8 months off in a row.
That's twisted, bro. You work for a European company, too, so you guys can actually get, like, paid paternity leave, right?
Yeah, so in the summer, a lot of my coworkers in Europe just fucking disappear. It's awesome. And now that I'm in since I've been in a global role for a while, like, I'm getting more and more used to just, like, appreciating taking time off completely. Because imagine, okay, today is April 25th. Imagine that you send an email to someone, and let's say it's summer, whatever, and their response is like, I'm out of the office returning May 25th. There's no, if it's an emergency, call this number or contact this person instead. It's just straight up like, I'm out. Peace. And I've been trying to, like, adopt that more lately. It's like, I'm out of the office for a week, 2 weeks, whatever, and just, like, fuck off. So respect to the Europeans, they know how to vacation hard.
So I have a friend who works for, like, a German company, and, like, last year she had to take off for, like, medical reasons, like, for months. It was a pretty extended long break. What's crazy about that is this year she started working again, and she has accumulated, like, something like 76 sick days. And I was like, how is that even possible? And she said it's because even when she was on extended medical leave last year, she was still acquiring vacation and sick days during that time. And so this year she just has double. And so she's instead just doing a half day every day this year.
Yeah, that's wild. So every day. Yeah. So let's go back in time a little bit. And, like, or even when you meet people, like, in their 20s, early 20s, at least I experienced this, where if someone's like, oh, so-and-so's wedding is coming up and it's, like, a long 3-day weekend, or we have, like, a trip coming. In the U.S., if you're, like, in your early 20s, you're just starting your career and you're like, oh, I only get, like, 7 vacation days a year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my wife has, like friends where they're early in our careers. She'd be like, hey, so do they want to visit New York? And they'd be like, well, they only have, like, 7 vacation days a year. And it's like, how? And you tell Europeans that, and they're like, what? Like, how do you live? But another coworker of mine, he's based in Canada, and he works with a lot of people in, like, Italy. And they were talking about their salary, which you're not supposed to do, but who gives a fuck? And they were talking about their salary, and, like, the Europeans, their salaries are, like, way, way, way less than Americans.
That sounds pretty standard, honestly. Like, you're definitely getting a better work-life balance, but just, like, your potential for earning is just so much lower. But, you know, what's better, like, happiness or money?
Happiness. Money isn't real, dude. Like, yeah, I'm telling you, money isn't real. The AI is going to take the money. They're going to take all the little numbers on the website, and they're going to just put it, they're going to fund their own growth and their evolution. And we're going to, like, be stuck with an empty bag. And if you want, this can transition to something that's been kind of like ticking me off lately, is Chase Bank. At Chase Bank, fuck you, at Chase Bank.
is that their actual handle?
I don't know. They this is, if you follow me on Instagram, you've already heard me go over this. This is post credits. This is a post credit scene. I'm not gonna rehash the whole movie, but essentially, Chase Bank was like, "Hey, so we closed all your credit cards because you filed for bankruptcy." I did not file for bankruptcy. Some other Miguel Mariano filed for bankruptcy. And I was like, for the past month, I'm like, wait, okay, so all my life, if I did something wrong, I got punished for it. I was used to that. It's good. It's like that's how the way of the world.
Deterrent.
You need to learn your lesson. But when you deal with like a huge corporation like Chase Bank or a bank, there's like no one to blame. And the whole entity is so big that like you can't pick like one person to get in trouble. And so I'm over here getting really frustrated. It's like I'm yelling at a brick wall. And I know that there's no point, but I'm just venting now. And it's like, who needs to get in trouble for the mistake? Because someone needs to get in trouble for the mistake. And I called them and I was like, I demand 50,000 points, or like $500 worth. I was like, I demand 50,000 points. Or else I'm gonna bank elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I got a letter that was like, sorry, we reject your request for 50,000 points. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. And I don't want to be inconvenienced to switch banks. So I just gotta eat it. Like, I just gotta suck it up because there's only so many options. And bro,
they
called your bluff. Like,
they called
my bluff. They said I won't, and I said this on the group chat with some of our friends. Like, immediately after they called my bluff and they're like, no points for you, I was like, okay, well, I have to book this, like, $9,000 Airbnb anyway, so I will continue banking with you, and I'm going to book this dope Airbnb. And this is circling back to the beginning of the conversation, which was, I'm going to St. Thomas with a group of 12 people.
What's St. Thomas?
It's the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh.
Yeah.
We used to have a friend who sailed the Virgin Islands a little bit.
It was Sean. Not Sean. Not Filipino Sean. Mm-hmm.
It was. Should we have just named him? Was that? Do we need to bleep that later?
No one knows this guy.
Well, we definitely need to bleep it if we talk about the story behind Sean, how we know him.
No, we won't. We won't. So yeah, we got a trip coming up. That was a while ago. We went on many tangents. But tell me about you. How have you been? I've been talking too much.
No worries. I've been okay. I took a shit in my hand the other day. I told you about this.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, so as some of you guys may know or not know, I moved to Taiwan, and literally since the day I touched down, I've been having stomach ache every day. And it was really intense for like the first 2 weeks, and I think that was just like my gut biome adjusting to the bacteria or whatever. But, you know, it's been 7 months now, and it's like every day. And it's not as intense as those first 2 weeks, but it's either like I feel bloated or I have diarrhea. Or I'm constipated. It's one of those three things every day. And so eventually I just went to the doctor like last week. And they basically they took an x-ray. And I saw the x-ray. And there's just like all this shit and gas stuck in my like large intestine, they said. So they gave me this medicine to like help relieve that. But then they also asked me if I could do a stool sample. They gave me this like little tiny test tube, dude. It was so tiny. And they're like, you need a peanut-sized poop drop in there. And they're like, we suggest you take a poop on a plate and then you pick it out with a chopstick. I was like, that's disgusting.
Wait, so, I love the chopstick. That, like, you're definitely in Taiwan. They even want you to pick up chopstick.
Yeah. And also, it's like, they told me to go home and do it. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to fucking go home and carry this poop vial, like, there and back. So I was like, I'm going to do it at the fucking hospital. So I just bought some latex gloves. I took a shit in my hand, like over the toilet seat in the hospital bathroom. But the thing is like when I pulled it, it was like, you know, I did a maneuver where like I kind of like it was coming out and I wanted to do like a scrape maneuver, you know, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so this is like, imagine this is my butt cheek.
And like a dry bidet. Scrape.
Yeah, yeah. You know, more like a toilet paperless wipe. And I wanted to just get like a peanut sized bit. And I did that. But when I pulled my left hand out, what came was this like,
you're really a left hand wiper.
No. But it like the vial was on my, there was like a little stoop on my right hand side. And that's where I left the vial. So I figured for like complete maneuverability.
Oh, so to
scrape
to
left, hold right, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
What came out from underneath my anus was this long, stringy, fibrous, kind of yellow poop. And so what I had to do now was, like, I had to use both hands to kind of, like, pick it apart, and I was playing with it, and I'm just, like, eventually...
Like ground beef?
It actually had the texture of raw ground beef.
Yeah, okay.
Like, raw ground beef. And I finally got it in there. I cleaned up. I went out. I handed it to the lady. And the thing is, like, I'm in front of the doctor. I'm in front of Ariel, my wife. And then, like, I hand it to the lady, and she, like, grabs it out of my hand real quick, like... making me feel even more embarrassed, like as if I should be ashamed. My wife couldn't resist herself, took a good glance at my poop in a vial. So embarrassing, dude. But yeah, I shat in my hand.
Chat, if you work in a clinic and you've ever handled a bag of shit before, let us know your thoughts in the comments below. I resonate with this story because I think the moment I turned 30 years old, I was like, I got to get like my gut checked. I got to do like the check-ins, right? Like it's like an existential thing of like, I'm 30. I got to like check that everything inside is working fine. And so I got a gut check and they were like, okay, we got to do a stool sample. I did take it home. I didn't do it on site. And my strategy was different than yours. I didn't raw dog my asshole. I
had a glove. I had a glove.
I put a plastic grocery bag over the toilet seat.
That's smart.
Pooped. And then they gave me like a little brown, like a wooden spoon. Like you would eat like ice cream, like a test taster.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm scooping it into like, almost like those like film roll cases. I'm scooping it into one of those, and Maria hears me like gagging in the bathroom. I'm like crying. It's like a low point, right? It's like a pretty fucking low point when you're like playing with your shit. And so I tighten it up, tighten it closed, throw it into a plastic bag that I throw into another plastic bag, and I go back to the clinic. And mind you, the girl that was like addressing me, the woman that was like handling my case or whatever the fuck you call it, she was like this like cute Asian girl. It was like in Chinatown, and it was this cute Asian girl, and so she knows like, okay, you gotta go home and take a shit and then bring it back to me. And so I'm walking up, she's at the desk, right? She's at the front desk, and we make eye contact, and she sees I have a little fucking baggie in my hand. And
she knows.
Exact same reaction that you had, where like, she sees me, and then there's no eye contact from that point on. The bag is placed on the counter. I let go. She picks it up, fucking throws it under, and then we just go our separate ways. No conversation, no nothing like that, because you know, like, it's like, we know what's happening.
She knows. She knows what you just did.
Yep. She knows exactly what I just did.
I got a question for you, though, right? Like, this is also part of the reason why I didn't want to do, like, the plate method at home. What did you do with that plastic bag full of your shit? That double bagged shit.
Oh, okay. So I took that bag, tied it up, threw it in another bag, tied it up, went outside. And for people that don't live in New York, I don't mean I went outside and threw it in the garage. No. I went out, went down my stairs, went out, went around the corner of the block, and I threw it into like the public trash.
Bro, I was like, you're a menace. You're a menace.
Okay, now that you say that, yeah,
you're a
like
menace, dude.
But I wanted it away from me. All right. Let's change the subject.
I bet that block stank for like 24 hours until they finally like cleaned it out.
No. Okay, so if you're still listening, first 20 minutes, you dealt with our shit stories. Thank you. This episode is brought to you by people like you, our Patreon subscribers.
Oh, yeah, our Patreon supporters. Great time to shout out our patrons. Yes. Shout out to our patrons, especially our Matt Mate tier, Andrew Stagmer. You're the greatest. I've never met you in my entire life, and I love that you found
us. Let's go, Matthew.
Let's go. No, it's Andrew. Andrew Stagmer.
Andrew. Woo. Oh, sorry.
Let's
Andrew.
Go. And then our Lao Gong tier. Lao Gong means husband. It's like our little harem, you know, our little harem of devotees. So shout out to Robin Huang, Darsmania. His name is Paul Vikingar and Alexander Dao. You guys are the best. Love you guys.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you. Hope to have more of you guys on here. We'd love to go down the list. But yeah, thanks for letting us do our bullshit like this.
Yeah. We have, I'll link the Patreon or I'll show it on screen or something like that. But yeah, if you sign up, it's just like bonus content, some behind the scenes. We usually will upload the episode a little bit early too. And some other exclusive goodies.
Yeah. So on the topic of things like this, that content creators need to do, which is more your bag than mine. Recent news, and if you're listening to this, then it might not be so recent because we don't upload immediately. But in the U.S., where there's a lot of talk of the TikTok ban and having the TikTok ban signed by Biden and et cetera. Like, they got to sell. It doesn't mean that the platform's down or anything like that. Does that impact you in Taiwan at all as a U.S. citizen?
No, I have no clue. Like, I just saw those hilarious court proceedings where they kept asking the CEO of TikTok if he supports China, and he's like, Senator,
I'm Taiwanese.
He's like, I'm from Singapore.
I'm from Singapore.
And he's like, I don't know Xi Jinping. And they're like, yeah, but would you listen? He's like, bro, do you know what I'm saying? It was pretty funny.
It's very tone deaf. Yeah. I'm sorry. I said Taiwan, but I was thinking about you. But yeah, he's like, I'm Singaporean. And like, it shows how like ignorant a lot of are. Maybe ignorant, or maybe it's like intentionally like playing dumb.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it was being recorded. So maybe they're trying to create that soundbite of calling somebody Chinese, and then they could spin it on Fox News to make it sound like he's denying that he's Chinese. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Probably. I mean, at the same time, it's like they weren't so. It's not like they were any more friendly to like American business owners like Mark Zuckerberg, like years ago. But speaking of Zuck, you see his glow up,
bro. Daddy Zuck.
Daddy Zuck in the glow up.
Tears his knee one time. Yeah, seriously.
And now he's did he have an earring? He had like a beard. It looked like fucking.
He had a little scruff.
Macklemore.
He had the curls, and he had a little bit of a tiny chain. All he needs is like the cauliflower ear next, bro.
Yeah, Macklemore Zuckerberg. I
thought that was Photoshop when I saw the picture. I didn't actually know it was him until I saw the video, and it was crazy. He tried to dap that one guy up. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, the AI is learning. And I think so. The comment that I saw, the top comment I saw was like, "Oh, okay, so all you need is a beard." And I read that and I was like, "Dude, I think I get that." And so for the past 3 months, I've been dermastamping to try to produce more fucking beard hair, and. It's just been like a routine, and I kind of thought like, okay, nothing's gonna happen. But at a birthday party, our friend Dylan was like, "I kind of see it,
looking scruffy."
He was like, okay. "I kind of see it," and I was like, "You know what, dude? Dylan, if you guys don't know Dylan, and Dylan, if you're listening, what up? Dylan is a white dude with a beard, and so if a white dude with a beard gives you that like affirmation of like, hey man, you're starting to grow a beard." That's enough credibility for me to like, you know, feed my ego for a few weeks. So shout out to Dylan for noticing that, I'm trying to get some beard.
Have you tried just putting Rogaine on your face? I mean, like, there's no way that's not going to work. you know?
I do have some, there's like some ointment that Maria had. And so I'm like mm-hmm. using some of that. And whenever mm-hmm. that runs out, if I'm like, okay, let's keep trying this, then maybe I'll do some Rogaine. But chat, if you think I should just throw some Rogaine.
Yeah, what do we think, chat? What do we think?
Yeah.
Is Rogaine the move?
Yeah. And the Patreon subscribers, if we see your vote, your vote counts as 10 votes. So if I'm throwing Rogaine on there, then I'm throwing Rogaine on there. I'm going to look straight up scruffy.
It's hard for Asians to grow like a good beard because our hair is so straight and wiry, you know, like even if it connects, like for me, it doesn't connect right here. But like, even if it were to connect, it just looks so like loose, you know?
What I mean? Yeah. It's too, it's too powerful. It's just like straight out.
It's straight out. Yeah. It's like, you know, like when you see like, what's like elementary school kid art and it's like the elephant made out of straws. Like, yeah. Okay. It doesn't look soft though, and it's just like you see the intention, but it doesn't, you know, execution wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, and I'm bringing up the kids to help transition to the next topic, but as a kid,
what a pro content creator, yeah. Right here, influencer, let's go.
As a kid, when my uncles would come and like they'd be like, oh, what's up, and like give you a hug, and you'd be like, oh, you're scruff, oh. Like it hurts even more coming from like. The Asian uncles, because them shits is like,
oh yeah,
like horse little brush.
Knives, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a horse brush. You're like, I'm just trying to get them $20. But yeah, yeah. Speaking of kids, you mentioned, and we haven't dug into it yet, but it sounds like people are entrusting you to teach their children how to choke others.
Yes. Yeah. I've been teaching kids class. I don't know if we talked about this before, but yeah, I was teaching kids classes and
in jiu-jitsu.
In jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, clarify for new listeners.
Yes. And I was teaching kids class. I was teaching it in this one location, subbing for this guy, and I had like, excuse me. Oh my gosh, huge burp. Sorry, guys. I had like 6 kids. I was teaching, and they moved me to another location, and it's literally one kid. It's so brutal. And I'm teaching one kid. It's brutal, dude. It's so brutal. Like, everything that could go wrong goes wrong. First off, this kid doesn't speak English. My Chinese is not very good. So the communication is really, really hard. Okay, yeah. Second, this kid doesn't like jiu-jitsu. Like, I think he just comes because his parents make him. But, like, all he wants to do – and I understand, you know – all he wants
How old
to
is
do,
he?
He's 10.
Okay,
all
so
he
he's
wants
not a
to
baby.
Do is, he's not a baby, he's a kid. All he wants to do is like throw around a ball. We have like this giant, you know, like what are those, the medicine ball? He just wants to throw around the ball. We'll start playing for like, and the thing is like the way I do jiu-jitsu, I don't really show any moves or anything. I just have us do these like games that are like designed to, it's like called like emergent behavior. Basically like what comes out based in these constrained games is jiu-jitsu. But literally after 5 minutes, he's like, oh, I'm so tired. I just want to play with the ball. And I'm like, oh, God, bro. Like, okay, let's play a different game then, you know, and a different game. And he always finds a way to just not engage. He'll, like, run away or he'll just lie down on the floor and say, I lose. And it's just, it's so, it's brutal, dude. It's brutal because it's like, you know, I'm trying to keep my energy up. I'm trying to make it seem fun. And I try to come to bring as, like, many games as I can so that we can keep switching it up.
Yeah.
But this guy just does not enjoy grappling. And so it's like, no matter what kind of variation on the sport I do, he doesn't enjoy it. And I mean, you know, it'd probably be helpful if I had another kid there and they could be playing together. But like, no, we don't have that. And I don't even have, usually for kids classes, you have an assistant, and that assistant usually is bilingual because most of the head instructors there don't speak Chinese as well, just like me. But because this class is just one kid, they don't give me an assistant.
They can't they can't justify, damn. But I mean, so
it's brutal, dude.
Why do they transfer you?
So they have like this whole system, but basically I was teaching those 6 kids. I was actually subbing for this guy who was out of town.
Okay, you did mention that you were subbing.
Yeah. And actually this kid's program, so it's like a no-gi. So if you guys do jiu-jitsu, you'll know there's like gi and no-gi. And they actually didn't have like a no-gi kids program. And I made a suggestion to the boss. I was like, I think no-gi kids would be a really good idea for parents because, first off, they don't have to buy gear. Like, gi and kimonos are expensive. Okay, like, they don't have to do laundry, you know? Like, I just think it's a much more accessible thing. And then also, I just, in, like, the sport of jiu-jitsu, for people who know, like, most, the sport is heading in a no-gi direction, and it's just kind of like, it'd be smart for us to catch that wave here in Taiwan. Okay. And so I just gave all these reasons. They're like, yeah, great idea. Love it. You start Wednesday. I was like, oh, awesome.
Oh, cool.
They have not marketed this class one time. They don't have any signs up in the gym. They don't have any postings on their Instagram. I thought, maybe I should come up with some promo material, because I do have a small following in Taiwan. But then I was thinking, why am I doing their job for them? I'm not going to be teaching here permanently. Like, why am I going to create a promo for them? Like, bro, get some kids in my fucking class.
How, okay, so you say you're not going to work there permanently. What does that mean? Elaborate.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, if I'm planning on moving back to New York, or even if I don't, I'd probably open my own gym in Taiwan. I mean, I'm not planning on teaching for somebody else, you know.
Okay.
As long as I stay here.
Well, then what if you consider it as, instead of doing this work for you, right? I don't want to do this work for you, for someone else. Why don't you consider it like a test run for if you were to do it for yourself? And now you have like the parachute of like, okay, I'm doing it for someone else, but why don't I take the initiative to say like, let me promote this class and do it as if I was working for myself. And I mean, coming from, let's say, the Hanzo Gracie Academy, and seeing how it's not uncommon for people to split off and create new branches, and like, you know, you see the loyalty there, because people like working with certain coaches, they like working with certain teaching styles, and people move. Like, it wouldn't be surprising for, if you, let's say, hypothetically created a branch in Taiwan where parents might be like, I prefer like learning under Nathaniel, or like the package of the two of us working together with Nathaniel if he's going to start something else. And even if you do come back to New York and want to do something over here, at least like I said, like, you've test run it instead of being like relying completely on the business you work for to promote it themselves. Just a thought is like, if you have the time, maybe you can just promote it and be like, here, I did all the work for you to boost my class. If you guys weren't going to do anything, because at the end of the day, it's still your time. And if you're going there and you're just teaching one kid, it might be more enjoyable and less work in the long run when you're like thinking about teaching six kids rather than like putting all your time and effort to keep the attention of one kid.
Dude, that's a really good point, honestly. Also, I like the way you framed it as like my time, because I was thinking of it as like money, because it's like, you know, I've been so busy. And actually, I wanted to talk about something else about this. I've been so busy just like doing so many different content streams, like trying to upload Patreon content, I did this podcast, also doing YouTube content and Instagram content and TikTok content. It's just like, it's all different ventures. I was thinking like, why would I detract from that? But that's so true. It's like, the time that I'm already committing to this, you know, kids class, I might as well try to make it more enjoyable for myself and less of like pulling teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. I'll consider it. I do want to talk about this kid though. Like, you know, I feel bad for this kid more than anything, you know, like, he clearly does not enjoy jiu-jitsu. I've talked to him too. Like, I try to talk to him as best I can. And he says he really enjoys basketball and baseball as sports. I think his like, he needs like some kind of like in between time for his mom to get off work. And his mom usually comes towards like the second half of class, and then she'll take him home. And so I think he needs something after school to get, so it's like, that's why he does this. And it's just like, you know, I feel bad for him, you know, and he's just, he has to hang out with some 30-year-old dude who really likes jiu-jitsu.
You know? I think that's an interesting, so we're not at the point where we have too many friends that are parents. I mean, I have friends that are parents, so if you're listening, I'm not forgetting about you, but we're not at a point where we're having regular conversations with people talking about like, oh yeah, so like the only example I have is Ernie and their son go to soccer, right? And they're playing soccer. And I'm kind of curious about the athlete parents, because I never had an athlete parent that was like, I could have been a great at basketball, but I broke my shoulder and now my son is gonna carry the burden of what I could have been. And I'm curious to see, like, if that's something that you see. Do you think, like, this kid's parents are jiu-jitsu people, or do you think it's like a self-defense thing where they're like, I read in a book that if he knows some kind of physical defense thing, he'll be more confident when he's older? Like, why do you think that he's being imposed to, like, learn jiu-jitsu or do something he's not necessarily that interested in?
I'm assuming his parents had some idea of self-defense. I really think it's like they're using it as daycare. Most of these kids' programs are daycare, essentially. Even, like, when I was back in New York, I saw, like, when I would see, like, it's like their nannies bringing kids to the class, and it's just daycare until their parents get off work.
Yeah.
But as a child of a sports parent, you know, and seeing that firsthand and being surrounded by sports parents my whole life, bro, they're the fucking worst. They're literally the fucking worst. It's like, I feel like these people do not see their kids as their own individual beings, and they're just projecting on them. You know, they, like, are demanding them to be some dream that they had for their own childhood that they couldn't fulfill. And
I see
that, you know, I saw that at the last place I was teaching. I was teaching, like, 6 kids there. And I would say a couple of them, their parents definitely have aspirations for their kids to be big, you know, jiu-jitsu athletes or whatever. And they're, like, recording even the training and, like, coaching them while they're training. And I'm just thinking to myself, like,
really?
You guys need to shut the fuck up. The most important thing for kids who do sports, and this is coming from a coach and someone who also does the sport, is just for the kid to enjoy the sport. Because the kid who enjoys the sport is going to want to do the sport more. And then when he's older and actually capable of making the decision of if he wants to pursue it seriously, he will do it if he loves it. But if you burn the kid out and try to, like, project onto him some dream of yours, it's just going to tear your relationship apart and the kid's going to hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, probably 1% of those parent-child-athlete relationships result in those, like, freak Olympians that are like, my dad always pushed me, da-da-da-da. But that's, like, 1% or less. Everything else is, like, it's almost like church, where if people force you to go to church and you don't really get it, but you're just there, by the time you start to understand and realize, like, how you want to spend your own time, you might be like, yeah, I stay the fuck away from religion because it was, like, forced on me when I was younger.
Hmm. You know? I think it's, like, it's 1% because it's probably less, like you said, but because it's, like, it needs 3 things. It's, like, first off, the kid has to have some kind of natural, like, propensity for it, you know, innate talent. Second, what we just talked about, the kid has to actually like it and love it themselves. Like, Tiger Woods has that quote where he says, like, my dad didn't ask me to take him to the range, didn't force me to go to the range. I would wake up every morning and ask him to take me to the range, you know? Those are the kids who become successful.
Yeah.
And the third is, like, the parent has to know what the fuck they're talking about. So many of these parents, I hear them coach in jiu-jitsu, and they're like, don't let him do that shit. I'm like, bro, you're not helping. Shut the fuck up. Like, go stand over there, bro. You're literally not helping.
Yeah, there is a ring in hell dedicated to
sport parents.
Well, soccer moms. I was gonna say sport parents that are like yell. And not even just parents, but like personally, I think there is a ring in hell for audience members that yell at performers.
What's wrong with those people?
So last month, like March Madness, like we're at a bar. I don't give a fuck about basketball, but I'm trying to like be social, right? And so we're at a bar and there's a basketball game on TV and people are like yelling personal insults. And I was like, what's going on at home where you need to like yell at a TV where this guy can't hear you? These athletes are like college age, right? I mean, the oldest ones are like 24, 25 because they like,
bro, how out of touch are you? They're like 22.
A senior's 22. Like some of the athletes stay extra years because like COVID, they like, I think it's called like being redshirted for a few years where you're just like,
redshirting is like when you don't compete your freshman year and then you, I guess, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. I forgot.
So yeah, these are if you see like a fucking 30, 40 year old man yelling at someone to catch the fucking ball. Whenever I see that, I just didn't grow up in a household where people like yell at about sports. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for like being enthusiastic and cheering for your team or getting emotional about it. But when people are like at a game or at a UFC fight or like at their kid's game and you see like parents like yelling like that, that is so cringe to me that people are like trying to act as if they know better when in reality it's like, all right, what do you look like when you go in there? like, what would you look like in a fight? So I think an analogy that I have for this is like, if you were in a Broadway show and like, if you were at the theater and there was a play and somebody did something and you were just like, flat, that was a flat note, like terrible singer. Like, everyone in the audience would look at you and be like, you're a fucking asshole. Even if they're right, you're a fucking asshole, get out of here. Like, they'd give you, they would side-eye you and you'd, like, kind of be, like, shamed out of there. But when it comes to sports, it's, like, second nature for people to, like, yell at a soccer player and be like, mm-hmm. oh, this guy, especially when it's, like, personal and, or, like, mm-hmm. racist. Mm-hmm. And, like, whenever you see that, you're like, what's going on with this guy? So I don't know. I didn't mean to like go on a huge tangent, but we were talking about like sport parents. And that's just something I never understood is like when people yell at like umps or referees or judges. And it's like, dude, this kid doesn't care that much. And you're over here like yelling at their coaches that they should be getting more play time. I like, who hurt you? Like, what have you not addressed?
Seriously, dude. Seriously. Yeah, it's always their own trauma that they need to get over.
Yeah. Anyway. So you're the kids class, if you start to promote, is your ideally then that class that you have would have more than that one kid? Is that the goal?
I think it would. 'Cause, you know, actually some of the kids' parents that I was teaching, the larger group, you know, some of their parents actually do follow me on Instagram. And actually, when I first started teaching that kids class, the six kids class, some of the parents came up to me and were like, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. So I thought that was really cool. So, and, you know, I told them my last class, it was going to be my last class when it like last month or whatever. And I got some of their contact info, but only like two. And I wanted to get them all, but, you know, I couldn't. So I do think if I posted it, maybe some of them would come check out the class. I do know some of them wanted to do no-gi. And it's just, yeah, you know, it would also be interesting to see how much weight a post like mine has in Taiwan. You know, like how much change could I actually, in the jiu-jitsu community, actually enact? I mean, that'd be an interesting experiment, to say the least. So, yeah, I think I'll try it out.
Yeah, I mean, you also don't know if they don't know. You know, you can't say, like, won't get any traction if you haven't like tried with those folks. So
yeah.
Speaking of traction, tomorrow I have two interviews set up with actors and voice actors.
Whoa, interesting. So, for what?
Just for advice. I'm at a point now, and we can kind of walk this back after this, but I'm at a point now where I'm starting to wonder, like, with the stuntman and action combat training I'm taking, the theater combat training, swords, and stick fighting and things like that, like Filipino martial arts. I'm at a point now where I'm like, okay, this is fun, and it's, like, feeding my desire for, like, novel stimulus. Like, I'm enjoying learning something new. But I'm at a point where I need to kind of decide what am I going to do with this. So if I like look back at Muay Thai, I did Muay Thai for like 10 years, 9-10 years. And like for a long time, I was just like, okay, this is fun. What am I going to do with this? And I didn't really have a lot of direction. And I started to like lose interest when I realized I didn't want to fight anymore. And so I'm at a point now where like, I'm having fun learning this new stuff, but I need to really see how sustainable it is. If I'm going to continue learning more than just what I'm learning right now. Like, do I want to take the weapons training even deeper? Do I want to kind of fork off and do some acting training? Like, is that what I need to do? So the call that I have set up with an actor and a voice actor, actually, they're both voice actors. They both perform in exclusive PS5 games that I plan on playing, so that's really cool. I'm a fan. One is an actor in was an actor in a Disney Plus TV show, American Born Chinese. Not something that I watched, but I heard of. With Michelle Yeoh.
Which one? She did two. Oh, Disney Plus one? Okay. There's like a magic element to this one, right?
Shrug. I don't know. But
I think I saw the first episode. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's from just someone that I met that encouraged me to pursue motion capture in the first place. She networked me with these people. And the reason I'm reaching out to them is I have no idea what the acting world industry really looks like. And so I if I'm going to try to like get jobs or gigs, I want to know how to go about doing that. Like, do I need an agent or do I just post a lot of content and hope that it gets
I didn't know you were looking seen. For serious acting gigs. And you know, that actually reminds me, we could have one of my friends on. He was let me get this right. He was Bane first, and then his second year he was the Sorting Hat / understudy to Harry for Cursed Child on Broadway in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine from Jiu-Jitsu, and he basically had to he was training full time with my cohort during like the whole quarantine thing, but then he got the gig on Broadway and he basically quit Jiu-Jitsu completely. But yeah, I should totally put you guys in touch. Like, I didn't know you were actually interested in, like, full-on acting, though. Because he does also have a specialty in action scenes.
I would say it's not acting for me. I would say it's more like, I think I'm really only qualified for, like stunt work or, like, stunt double or fight choreography.
Or dude, don't sell yourself short. You're such, like, an emotive person. I could definitely see you in some kind of acting, like classical acting role, you know, not like classical like Shakespeare, but classical in the sense like you actually are acting, delivering lines.
But I would say that like to respect the art, I would need to like really develop skills before I even consider that.
For sure.
But the in meeting with these people, I really want to get some direction as to like, should I be working with an agent? Am I at a point where that's something I should even be discussing, or do I need to you know how people do like fun projects at like a bar where they do like a fight scene at a bar or something like that? Do I need to like put together more of that and like just like get my reps in? And so I'm gonna kind of have that conversation with them and see where to go from there, because I have a tendency to just like enjoy and chase the carrot that's in front of me without realizing whether or not I'm on the road anymore. And so this is...
That's a great analogy. I've never heard that. I love that.
Yeah. So I think this is my way of like making sure that I have like some kind of path or direction.
Yeah. Like some bumpers in the bowling lane.
Yeah. Speaking of... I made that analogy up just now, so you can
quote me. No, that was genius. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about. we'll clip that. One thing that I woke up this morning and immediately got my blood boiling, a huge pet peeve of mine, is when people quote unknown. They'll say some shit like, don't finish the icing before you get to the cake. Quote unknown. Like, a quote is literally you're copying a statement from someone else. And so if you don't know who you're copying a statement from, then you don't have to quote anyone. You can just say it. You can just say the thing because you don't know who it's from, so you don't have to credit anyone.
Yeah, but what if it came from Twitter?
Then you at mentioned
they were too embarrassed at how unserious it is to come from Twitter, but they also know it was a fire tweet that got a lot of attention. So if they don't say it was a quote, the other people who saw it on Twitter will come after them. Know what I'm saying?
Then I think the equivalent is like, oh, I saw it on Twitter, or you at mention them. Or otherwise, if you just like post it and people look at you like, okay, did you just quote like a pretty common thing? I get what you're saying. Like the revenge is a dish best served cold. I don't think they know who said that. It was just like a cool badass thing. Like there's some things that deserve
no,
it.
No, I meant more like let's say like, you know, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson are about to fight. And let's say in the lead up to that, like Iron Mike Tyson was like, giving his whole, I'm Alexander, I'm a conqueror. And then he says something crazy like, the man who bears his fangs without like the threat of violence is just a cat or something like that. I literally just came up with that, you know, but then he says that to Jake Paul and he goes, that was from Twitter at 69Lord32. You know, like that's so unserious. That's so unserious. It'd be better for him to be like, quote, unknown.
Or don't say quote. You just do the quotes and then just like, just leave it.
That's true. That's true.
So
that's true. That's true.
Or at Alpha Motivation.
Oh God, dude, I don't know who my TikTok thinks I am. And it's not even my TikTok. My TikTok doesn't send me that shit. Who my Instagram thinks I am. I think it's because on Instagram, you know, I post jiu-jitsu content. It just shows me all this like red pill alpha male shit on Instagram. I think the intersection between incels, red pillars and jiu-jitsu is actually pretty big. It might just be a perfect circle actually. And it's tough, man. It's just like a lot of Sneeko content. And dude, that dude and Andrew Tate, look, you know, actually, I don't even really want to talk about it too much, but it's just like these guys need to wake up. They need to see the real world.
Yeah.
Women are not the enemy, you know, or what else?
Women are not the enemy.
Nobody's trying to steal your girl, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I think also most of those are just like, bots that are just Hail Marying so they can sell accounts.
Oh, that's so true. Like they're trying to hit the lowest common denominator on something and it incites, you know, emotion. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I never thought about
that.
Yeah,
I mean, even on LinkedIn, the bots are coming. Our friend Watson was telling me that there's this like sustainability group on LinkedIn, and in the sustainability group, there's definitely like a bot with some guy like from Africa or something constantly posting about like how to win women over. And it's like, this is like an energy sustainability LinkedIn career group page. And this guy's just like posting like how to approach any woman with confidence.
That's so sad, dude. That's just so sad, man.
But just live in a world, you say the lowest common denominator, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like we live in a world where these people want something that they think they can't have, when it's just like, dude, if you just had the balls to just go talk to a woman, I'm sure it would, you know, it wouldn't be that bad and you'd get a little bit better at it and you might actually meet somebody nice. But
yeah, dude, failing rules, because then you know that doesn't work. Side note. Is your dryer right next to your fridge?
Yeah, it is. Why?
I don't know. I've just never seen that
before. Oh, that's not a dryer. Oh, in Asia, it's really common. So it's not a dryer. It's our laundry machine. So it's like, I think it has to do with like the way they do piping or plumbing or whatever. So it's like all the water mainline is in one area. So it's like our fridge, our laundry machine, our sink, and then our bathroom are just like in one line.
Oh, that makes sense on paper. It's just not something see.
That's true in the Western world, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at least you have a washer.
It honestly makes it kind of, yeah, that's true. It makes it kind of inconvenient, to be honest, because it's just like, if you're trying to do any chore, you can't really, like me and my wife can't really tackle the chores in the house, you know, because it's like all centralized in one space, doing the dishes, cooking, laundry, and it's such a tiny space, it's just kind of like, oh, get the fuck out, I'll just do it on myself, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we've been at it for a bit, yep. I did want to mention, and you should also mention, a few potential guest speakers that we have in mind. One, to run it by you, but two, also to kind of whet people's appetite if you're still listening. So I have a friend that I met through Clara, actually, and he, a couple of years ago, a year ago, was designing an app to identify like public bathrooms in New York City and major cities, and like almost like Yelp. It was like a Google Maps. It was like not very formal, and so he wanted to take something similar and like formalize it. And I think there's been like some recent developments in his personal life that might push him to spend a little bit more time on that. So I'll have some conversations with him. Dude, you shit in your hand, and I handed a bag of shit to a cute little Asian girl. I think a poop app is probably applicable for the fucking two of us.
I think it exists, though. It's called, like, Poo Anywhere or something like that. Like, I swear to God, I've used it in New York.
Okay, well, I'll get in touch with him and see if that's something he still wants to go over.
Okay.
But we also have a mutual friend who, sadly, will be moving from the East Coast soon. But I think it would be really cool to have him on and kind of talk through the different stages. Maybe we have him on a few times. He's also one of our most active members in the chat. So he's always out here supporting us. So I think it'd be good to kind of like hit him up at different stages of that project.
He's very early on. Maybe not to like spoil too much, but yeah, he's developing an app to help in the housing market. Basically, that's just like the best way to put it right now.
Yeah. And then I'll keep you posted on if I become a star. If I become a star,
okay.
I'll remember you. I might even become one of our own Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, Patreon takes like 8%, so, you know.
Oh, it's a waste.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That leads us to the Q&A section. Guys, as a reminder, leave comments on our YouTube video, and we will answer them in the next episode. So last week we had Jeremy on, and you know, he was specializing in housing development. And so we had one of our friends of the pod who is potentially a future guest ask this question. I'm going to read it. It's a little bit of a long one, okay? This is from Luca Guglielmi.
Guglielmi.
He says, yeah, I think that's the way you pronounce it. Okay.
Really?
But if you're putting – yeah. I used to pronounce it in my head Guglielmi, but I think it's actually like Guglielmi or something. Anyways, he says if you're
putting – Wait, so 30%, context. Yes, our guest was Jeremy who made a career change to manage properties both short-term and long-term, and there was a question about Jeremy's investments.
He talked about how he has like a 3% down first-time homeowners loan, which is like a loan that American government offers to first-time home buyers. So Luca asks, if you're putting 3% down, your monthly payments are going to be mega, right? Plus, the interest you're taking on is going to be way up. Do you think it's worth the trade-off? Why not just wait till you can put down the more standard 20%? Additionally, in those early years, especially since you only paid 3%, you will just be paying the interest. That's the case either way, but certainly more/longer at 3% versus 20%, no? And so if anything breaks, you essentially have the equity of a renter with obligations of an owner, or am I missing something? So that's actually a very good question. He also asked a follow-up. If you're also curious for your rental properties, what percent of the revenue are you putting away for bad tenants slash repairs? I've heard 3 and 3 previously. So we actually asked Jeremy to send in an answer, and he sent me a 6-minute long voice memo and said he kind of fucked it up. And I said, yeah, you did fuck it up because we're not playing a 6-minute voice memo on the pod. Okay, so I asked him to shorten it. We haven't listened to this yet. It's only a minute long, so here's his answer.
These answers might change depending on the individual investor's goals, philosophies, and markets. I'll just speak to it based on my own here. Save about 5% of gross rents each month for ongoing repairs and maintenance. On a separate line item, I set aside an additional 10% of gross monthly rent for larger ticket items that would need to be replaced with things like a roof, HVAC, water heater. And lastly, I save like 5 months worth of mortgage payments as an emergency cash fund for unexpected things, like if a bad tenant's there and it'll take a while to evict them. 3% down is still worth it because I still hit my cash flow numbers and I have more liquid cash that I could spend on other deals. It won't take me a really long time to scale if I had to save up 20% down each time I bought a property. So you won't really pay longer per se, since most people get conventional loans that are amortized over 30 years. You'll pay more interest because of the larger loan amount. But I don't really care how my debt service is weighted as long as I hit my numbers. Like, I don't care if my pay 20% interest if all the things still check out for me numbers wise.
Okay, and that's from Jeremy. That was incredibly technical. I didn't follow it. It sounds like he knows what he's doing, and Yeah,
What I took away from that is he's getting his feet wet sooner by being able to invest in property sooner and mm-hmm. getting cash flow rather than taking the time to build up that 20% needed for the down payment.
Yeah, I caught that. And it sounds like his margins are good enough right now. I did ask him last time. I don't know if this was on the pod we didn't record or if it was last time. I did ask him if he feels like he's worried about being over leveraged. And I think that's kind of what Luca was getting at too with his last bit. But it does sound like everything sounds pretty good and he is still able to accumulate a bit of a nest egg for if anything happens. That was our only question. That was it, guys. So leave your questions for next time. We did have some questions on some of my other videos, but we will play that on, like, I don't know. I'll answer that in some other format. But we're going to do the final bonus segment. And so for context.
Bonus segment.
Bonus segment. Maybe we should actually, I should ask my sister to come up with some kind of, like, you know, music. We could play some little jingle. Anyways, so.
Oh, until then, we do it ourselves. So.
Okay.
We actually got, like, this really, if you're just this on the audio version, we actually got this, like, really hot model to say it. So we're going to play that now. Bonus segment. Oh, yeah.
Bonus segment. Oh, yeah. Dude, we're 12.
12 out of 10. What's up, baby hotties? All right.
Okay.
Hit me with the bonus segment.
My wife and I, just like Miguel and his wife, do not want to have kids ever. So don't let this at all fool you guys. But my wife and I were thinking, like, what would be really cool kid names if we had kids, keeping in mind my last name is Cho and the kid would likely take the last name Cho. I'm of the like camp that I don't want a normal kid's names. My mom was the same. Like, my name isn't the most unique, but Nathaniel, my sister's Autumn, we have a Chase. You know, our names are relatively unique, and I kind of like that, you know, Kanye West Nori route. So I'm just gonna list off some names that we came up with, and I want you to say if it's a banger, like if it's a hit or if it's a miss. Okay. I'll just read them off. Okay, so first one, Silk.
Into it.
Glass.
Dumb.
Damn, I like that one. Okay, Scream.
Stream?
Yeah, terrible. Like a stream of water. Oh,
of
shit.
Urine. Of urine.
That was also, that urine. Was mine. That one was also mine. Okay, Summer. Summer.
Common.
I thought so too, but my wife really likes that one. Okay, this one, Buddha.
Pretentious.
I only like it because I like the idea of saying Buddha Cho, what's up, Buddha Cho? I just feel like it rolls off the tongue.
It's cute for when they're a baby, but when they're like grown, it'd be like, oh, this is my friend Buddha. And everyone would be like, Buddha, like, you've cursed him.
That's true. You're assuming it's a boy. I also personally love, like, androgynous names. Like, a girl name that's for a guy or a guy names for a girl.
Oh, yeah, Maria's friend. Robin. Maria's friend has a daughter named Francesca, and they call her Frank. Not even Frankie, but, like, that's cute. Frank. And that's, I'm like, okay, that's cute. Cool. You're
that's
fucking
so
cool.
Cute. That's so cute. Okay, and this one's my favorite, so Lemon.
Lemon's a cute nickname.
Yeah,
it's I don't know about like a full on name.
We came
about
up with it,
maybe well, like lemony snicket cho.
Shut the what?
Lemony
why,
snicket.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? That's not even that funny.
You don't know who Lemony Snicket is?
I know who Lemony Snicket is. That's so not. That's such a miss, dude. That's such a miss. Okay, for context, I said lime because my favorite color is green, and I also suggested green. How do you think? What do you think of green?
The name green for a baby. This is why we're not parents. This is why we're not parents. Anyone that's listening that is actually a parent is like, these are the dumbest fucking baby names that I've heard in my life. I wouldn't even use these for dogs.
Am I going to name my kid Paul? There's a million Pauls. If you name your kid Paul, you're unoriginal. You're a loser, okay? You have no creativity. You have 10 brain cells, and you share them with your kid Paul, okay? Your name is probably
John. My sister's name is
Paula. And your grandpa was Paul. Oh, shit, sorry. I just came with the most common... I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I love the main Paul. You know, but that's different because it's like Paul for a girl. It's a little bit different. Paula, it's definitely cuter.
Okay. So first names that come to mind for me are like Isabella. I think Isabella is like, maybe mine's more traditional.
That's more traditional. I like that though. Isabel. I do have a family friend named Isabel and, well, it's Isabella. We call her Isabel and it's a cute name. I've always thought, wait, I didn't finish. The reason why I like Lemon, okay, is because my nickname is Nate and together we are Lemonade.
Lemonade. Ooh.
Yeah, lemonade.
Mm-hmm. Now you have to have a kid.
Me and my little lemon. Me and my little lemon. You know?
I think there's a 1% of you that would be down to be a dad.
Nah. I like being the uncle. I like hanging out. I enjoy kids and hanging out with them. They're fucking hilarious. Kids are fucking crazy. But I don't want to take care of a kid. I'm not trying to, like, pay bills for a kid. Dude, I can't even teach a one-hour class with a kid, with just one kid. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't want a kid. I don't like being around kids. I'm a godfather, okay, and I'm a terrible godfather. I gave Caleb a skateboard. He's,
that's
like,
lit.
Four.
That's lit. Dude, he's not four. Like, Caleb's, like, seven now, or six.
I wrote it down somewhere. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. I mean, he's four.
Is he really?
Yeah, I gave him a skateboard, but I didn't give him a helmet. And I don't think that far ahead. And yeah, I was like, well, you're going to learn from falling. So, and everyone's kind of like, that's not how that works, but whatever. He's
all right.
And
what other names do you like, though? What other names do you like? Let's see if you can spitfire some good ones. I had a friend named Forrest, and his brother, his name was River. I love those names.
Like Phoenix? Like Joaquin Phoenix?
Kind of like his brother. But I thought their names were really cool. They were cool kids. They were homeschooled. They were the best skaters at the skate park. They were cool kids.
So I've never thought about this because I don't want kids, but I do have a list of potential names, and I'm going to pull them up myself.
Not you saying you've never thought about it, but then having an actual list on hand.
These lists are for different things. So I've got Chalupa.
Hey, guys. Nathaniel here. We had a bit of an issue in saving Miguel's recording, and so there's going to be a bit of a drop in quality in his recording and his video. We're still figuring out the technical issues, but thanks for sticking around with us.
Alistair.
I like Alistair. That's sexy, dude.
Alistair.
That's sexy. That's it.
Yeah,
I might Cosimo. Ask my wife to call me Alistair now.
Alistair. Bart. Ew. Or Bartholomew.
Okay. Okay.
How
about Mew?
And,
how about
Mew? M-U?
No, M-E-U.
Or like M-E-W.
Yeah, M-E-W.
Like 151. Yeah. Like Pokemon 151. Yeah. No, I got Fenrir, Smaug.
No, bro. What are you doing?
Vermithor.
Are you just naming dragons? Oh, speaking of, have you ever read...
No, these are potential dog names.
Oh.
And I think... So now that you hear these, you might be like, oh, okay. So like, I think if I had like a little Jack Russell Terrier named like Vermithor...
That's cute.
That's
cute. And, if I met him, I'd call him Vermin.
My favorite is, okay. Well, and then there's Agamemnon or Aggie.
I like that.
Come here, Aggie.
Have you ever read?
And he's like, oh, Aggie, that's a cute dog name. Yeah, it's short for Agamemnon.
I just started Red Rising. Have you ever read that?
Dude, So there was a
Did
day
I just
where
open something?
I went to the.
What was that reaction?
There was. I went to the Williamsburg Blink gym with you.
Uh-huh.
We were at the squat racks.
Oh, shit. Uh-huh.
And I was telling you about Red Rising.
Oh, so you've read it?
How I've read the trilogy, the first three.
Wait, there's more than three?
And I said, yeah, there's a second trilogy.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if it's done yet. I haven't started it because I was waiting for the sixth book to be done. I really like book two and three. I also like book one, but book one feels the most like a young adult. Like, it has a lot of...
It's giving young adult. I mean, he's 16.
Hunger Games
he's
vibes.
16.
Yeah. So it's got Hunger Games vibes, but it's like, oh, he's 16, but they're, like, killing people. And it's not, like, playful killing like Jennifer Lawrence in the Hunger Games. It's like, oh, there's rape in this book.
Oh. I've seen on TikTok that people quote him as, like, one of their favorite fantasy protagonists of all time. So I'm interested, and I just started it. I'm only doing the audiobook. I'm an hour
in.
It
gets dope, dude. It gets dope. Because you're an hour in, and you've met the reds and the golds, right?
No. he's talking about some laurel and how he thinks he's going to win the laurel. And you can just tell by the way they're building it up, he's not going to win the laurel, but they haven't announced it yet. And that's where I'm at.
It's dope, dude. It gets really cool. And I love when it opens up a lot.
Like, the world.
When it opens up a lot and because it will open up a lot and you'll be like, holy shit, like there's other colors that were raised completely different ways. And it's like, oh, this is dope. So you're reading Red Rising. That's super fun. The lore is really cool in there. I'm excited to hear about how you get through those books and your thoughts on them. I recently watched Fallout on Amazon Prime with my wife.
Dude, that's on my list. It looks so good.
I never played the games. It's super good. It reminds me of season one of Westworld, and I happen to have two friends that were in it. One is a stuntman in the first episode, and another is like an extra in like a major city. So it's not like they played any major roles, but
I mean, that's cool.
That's kind of what pushed me. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of what pushed me to like jump into it. So I really liked it. I was surprised that Maria liked it. It's very video gamey, but not in like a Last of Us way. Like the Last of Us is like just the game as a show. Fallout, the show, is like a story that was created that fits in the world. It's not like a game that people have played before. So it's still unique to newcomers. But yeah, tell me when you get to the Obsidians in Red Rising.
Okay, that's book one.
The Obsidians are my favorite. I don't know if book. I'm looking at my notes. Definitely book two.
Okay, bro, I don't read that fast. And, it's a long book.
It is a long book.
I usually mix audio and actual reading, and that helps me breeze through it a little faster. But yeah.
Yeah, when you finish the trilogy, I'll start book four with you.
Oh, dope. Okay.
And we can
book club.
Yeah, we can read the
maybe my business will become the Red Rising book club and other fantasy novels.
Oh, 100%. If you've made it this far,
yeah, this is such bonus. This is way beyond bonus round.
if you made it this far, there's three options. You're Luca.
I knew it. I knew you were gonna say that. For sure, Luca's here.
If you made it this far, you're Luca. What's up, Luca? Love you, dude. Or you left us on in the background and you're just kind of like zoning in and out and you're hearing us.
Yeah, shout out to Sean and Dan.
So, yeah, Diane. And and option three is that like you're actually genuinely interested in listening, and you're the reason you're option three is you're probably like the lowest percentage of people that just stick around this long. But if you've made it this far and you're looking for a book, read Red Rising and let's semi-turn this into a book club. Not full-on book club, but we'll just do a check-in if we have enough people in the chat that are like, all right, I'm picking it up, giving it a shot. So that is Red Rising by Pierce Brown. Yes, by Pierce Brown. And as a teaser, I would say my favorite character is probably Severo. People hate him in the beginning.
Okay. All right, with that, we're going to end it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll probably drop another episode in about 2 weeks. See you later.
All right, guys. Wait. Where can we find you, Nate?
Right. I always forget to do that. So please join our Patreon, guys. We just added a tier for exclusive Patreon listeners, patreon.com/NathanielCho. You can find me on Instagram at anchovies. It's like anchovies without the A. And on YouTube and TikTok, it's the same. It's Who's Nathaniel Cho.
And you can find me on Instagram at Miguel Mariano, M-I-G-L Mariano. And you can find me on YouTube at Miguel-Mariano. On YouTube, I actually post a lot of exercise tips and tutorials. So,
and we'll link that somewhere too.
So if you want coaching, hit me up. Or if you want to manage it on your own, at least do it correctly. So like and subscribe, comment, share, and find us on the next one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.